I'd like to say it's good to be here this morning. I really appreciate what all has been said. I don't know, since we ain't been pastoring, sometimes thoughts I feel like sit on us for a little while, and I guess the last two or three weeks I've had this thought, well, I don't know when we'll get to preach it, I guess, and kept on and had the same thought, kept on. I thought, well, maybe that was just for me. And I was about to walk in Harmony Grove last night, and Brother Randy called us and asked us to come this way. And I said, well, maybe we'll get to preach that thought. And got to thinking about it and got to reading on it and different things and didn't know which way it was going to go, I'll be honest with you. And then the service started. Brother testified. Susan said what she did. Randy said what he did. I said, well, it gave me the thought for this moment, I guess. And if I had a thought, it'd be putting forth the effort. That's the thought I had. And that goes right along with everything that's been said. Every single testimony that's been talked about this morning, that's what it was talking about. Putting forth the effort. And y'all are about to go into revival. And there is some effort that takes place. There really is in going into revival. I know exactly what Randy's talking about. Over at Dry Creek, we had two revivals, I guess. And I was more nervous and tore up calling somebody to ask them to come and then having to be there, so worried about where everybody stood with the Lord. It absolutely, about physically, will hurt you. It causes more stress to sit there and just wonder how somebody couldn't move. Are you doing the service right? Is it time to cut it off? Is it time to keep going? Should you sing another verse? You don't know what to do, but just absolutely rely on the Lord. But the most part about it is it ain't the pastor's job. It ain't the men coming, just like it's been said. It's every single one of us. That's what makes up the body of Christ, not the pastor. The pastor's not the head of the body. The deacons aren't the hands of the body. It doesn't describe positions of the church and where it ranks in the body. If I was anything, I'd probably be the bottom of the foot, I'll be honest with you. That's where Paul got to. Paul wrote 13 books in this Bible, maybe 14 if you give him count for Hebrews, I guess. But that man called himself the chief of sinners, but yet we lift Paul up about as high as anybody else in the Scriptures. He called himself the chief of sinners. He even said he'd rather be a doormat in the house of God. He'd rather be stepped on, but just at least he was happy he could just be a part of it. I appreciate what you said, brother. I'm just honored and privileged just to be a part of it. Just to be a part of the family of God. When you think about that, that's an amazing thing. It really is. He is the same God. He is. And I used to tell Dry Creek all the time, they used to always talk about the 1980s. That's what they talked about. That was the golden years that they always talked about. That was when the revivals were packed full. That was when preachers would about get in a fist fight to go help a church in a revival because they wanted to be a part of that. Churches were packed. People shouted. That's what I always heard about. But my God is not dead. In 10 or 15 years, I hope they look back and say, y'all should have been alive during 2022. Y'all should have seen the way Mountain View was in 2022. We was busting at the seams. It was a lot like 1984, but it was even better. Our God's not dead. See, us as Christians, sometimes we're the ones that walk down the road kicking a can, looking down, thinking, well, what do we do to get more people in here? Well, what do we do? When we figure out it ain't nothing we can do except do our part. We used to say in the military all the time, we'd say, stay in your lane. That's what we said. Stay in your lane. We don't cross over. If I go start doing somebody else's job, I can't do mine 100%. Sister's talking about taking a Sunday school class. That's her job. That's not anybody else's. Now it's on her for her to teach them kids. And there takes some effort in our work. It really does. It absolutely does. This thing takes effort. And see, that's what's wrong with a lot of people today. They don't want to put forth the effort. But if you'll get desire, you'll be willing to put forth that effort. A farmer doesn't go outside just because he absolutely loves to sweat and break his back every single day. It's because he's got to have some stuff come out of the ground to make money. That's the reason why people put forth an effort for a reward. Well, guess what your reward is as a Christian? Eternal life. And to dwell with the one who created all of this that we're sitting in. But there's got to be an effort put forth. And I'm going to read some scripture, I guess, in the book of Exodus, chapter number 14. And if you're lost, saved, this your first day in church, you know this story. It's very, very familiar. I know many preachers say that. But this is absolutely familiar scripture. I'd say there is a big, big chance you probably have read this or heard this or been taught it at some point. But we're just going to do what the Lord has laid upon our heart. Exodus chapter number 14. We'll give you a second to get there. I'm going to start about the 13th verse. Fourteenth chapter, book of Exodus, 13th verse says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." Ain't it good that He tells us the truth. I don't read of another time in Scripture where they ever got in bondage again by the Egyptians. He said he'd see them no more. Said, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Verse 15 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen, and the angel of the Lord, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud in darkness to them, but it gave by light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night." Verse 21, I think it's going to be the last verse. It says, "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all the night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided." And I feel like that's as far as we're going to read. And I guess I got to thinking about effort and putting an effort into serving the Lord. We seem to put an effort in everything else today, and we do our best to try to be the best that we can at our job and the best we can at sports and the best we can at whatever it is in life, but sometimes it lacks in what we do for the Lord. It really does. The effort that we put forth, and I thought about that word, and I had to write it down specifically, but the definition of effort says a vigorous or determined attempt. A vigorous or determined attempt. That's what the word effort even means. I'll be honest with you, I didn't even fully understand what that word meant until I looked it up. I thought, well, I'll just give a little bit of this, and that's my effort. See, there's measurements on how much effort you can put into something. And if you put in just a little bit, you're going to get just a little bit out of it. But if you'll put a lot of it in it, you'll get a whole lot out of it. Brother Randy preached a message one time, and he even said in his message, he said, you can serve God as close as you want to. If you want to have an arm's length distance relationship with God, He'll allow you to even have that. If you want to serve Him from a 10-foot pole, that's the relationship that you can have. But He's made a way for us to put forth effort that we can walk closely with Him and abide in Him today. But you know what we got to do? Put forth a little bit of effort. It says a vigorous or determined attempt. Vigor means that's something powerful. That's something that you're going after. And then it says, and determined. You know, when I finally got saved, when I got determined that I was absolutely lost and absolutely nothing without God, when I absolutely got to the point when I started seeking Him, when I said, okay, there's something to this, my heart's broken, there's a difference to it. I hid many a times, Randy, I did. But until I got determined and until I got to the point where I was willing to put forth the effort, that's when God saved me. Was it finally that I was able to be saved? No, I was able to be saved all those times that He bid me to come, all those times that He called me. But until I was ready to put forth the effort to get to Him, that's when I was saved. You know, I went to church for probably about a year after I was saved. And I sat in church, and I'd go to Sunday school every now and then. Had to work on some Sundays, had to work on some Wednesday nights. Couldn't be there every single time. But I got to a point one Sunday morning, I don't know what came over me, but at the very end during the altar call, the Lord said, go and pray. I didn't even know what I was going to pray for, Randy. But I thought, well, I guess I hadn't been up there in a while, might as well go. I remember I walked up there and I started praying, and the Lord laid on my heart that I'd been sitting halfway in on Him. I'd not been giving the full effort. I wasn't making myself readily available to the Lord. And I remember what a burden I had on me while I was praying and how light I felt when I got up from it. And I couldn't explain what the feeling was, Randy. And about 2 weeks later, I remember, it got real, real clear to me. He was calling me to preach. I was trying to tell Him, I'll do anything, God. I'll hold the doors, get the preacher water, whatever You want me to do. But He called me to preach for some reason. But you know what? He couldn't use me when I wasn't readily available. And most of all, when I wasn't willing. And most of all, when I didn't want to put forth the full effort. Boy, there were some people in front of me that were already doing all of the effort. They were already singing the songs. They were already giving the testimonies. They were already preaching the messages. What did they need me for? But I've learned something through serving God. It's not about what we think is best, but it's better just to get up and do what He says. He said the sister didn't say nothing, but just reached out and took His hand. I seen a boy that just got licensed to preach last week down at Stoner's. I was there, I preached the morning that he got saved. He didn't know what I preached. He didn't care what I preached. It didn't even touch him. But you know what did, and he'll tell you to this day. It was a lady that I've still never even heard testify since then. Just give her testimony back there in the back. Never even heard her testify since, Randy. Had never heard her testify before. She started testifying, tears started coming out of his face, and he got out of that pew as fast as he could and slid up in this altar. Wasn't nothing I did, but because she was obedient. See, we get so used to sometimes looking saying, well, Sister So-and-so, she always sings that song, and Brother Baptist, he always gives that testimony, and we're going to let the pastor get up and preach the message, and I hope it's a good one, because that's the only way that I'll get blessed.
That's it.
But if we'll put forth the effort, if we'll study the Sunday school lesson before we come, if we'll come with something on our heart on a Sunday morning, we'll have something to stand up and say. But sometimes we come with an empty plate and a fork thinking, who's feeding me today?
That's right.
See, it tastes a whole lot better when you grow something out of the ground and go and get it yourself and cook it and put it on your plate, because you did that. Means something to you, doesn't it? That's putting forth an effort. I'll get to the scripture. Now Moses, we all know the story. Everybody, there ain't nobody in here that ain't never heard that scripture before, at least the story of Moses. We know that he led the children out of Israel. He'd led them to this point. I mean, led them out of Egypt and led them to this point as they stood by the waters. He had put forth an effort to get there. And he was the only one just about standing there. Maybe Aaron and maybe his mother, maybe some people that were close to him that just believed in him, maybe not trusted God. Everybody else said, why did you bring us here? Look what they're going to do to us now. We should have just went back. I had my plot picked out. I was going to carry stones till the day I died and then just be putting this right outside the house. But he put forth an effort. You know what Moses did? He walked down there by the water. He got to talking to God. He raised the staff, put it in the ground, and the waters parted.
Amen.
You think it was Moses? You think it was the staff? You think it had any part of it? You think Samson was strong because of his long, pretty hair? You think that that water was special, that blind man went and dipped in 7 times? Was it the water, Randy? Do you think when you came up here in 1984, was it the pew that saved you? Was it the sister's hand that you felt? It was the Lord today. But let me tell you something. The staff that was raised and put in the ground, it took effort to lift. It took faith to put in the ground. And that is how God works today. God blesses the effort today. We want to talk about farmers today. Does farmers sit in their house and say, well, I'll just pray that the seed gets in the ground. Well, I'll just pray that the ground gets tilled. And I'll just pray that the Lord goes and picks all of it and puts it here for me and takes it to the market. No, they don't. They till the ground. They put the seed in. And when it comes, they pluck it. But you know what they do? They pray to God that they have a good crop. They pray to God that it might rain so they may be able to feed their family and children and other loved ones. God will bless the effort that you put in. It's not for us to sit back. Let me ask you a question. The Bible verses that you remember, the songs that you remember, did they come to you while you were sitting on the pew doing absolutely nothing? No, they was taught to you at some point. That you put forth an effort to go to Sunday school. You heard it on a Wednesday night while it was preached when there was only 10 people in here. It was when you went to revival and you went all week long and you might be tired and wore out this week, church. You're gonna be. I promise you, you are. By Thursday night, you're gonna be feeling sorry for yourself. I do the same thing. We just got back from vacation just Friday night. And it was my birthday yesterday. And I thought, boy, but we ain't went to Harmony Grove all week. I sure do love Eddie and Chris. And we was tired, I'll be honest with you. Didn't much feel like going. But you know what? We put our church clothes on and we went up there anyways. And you know what? I got a blessing for it. I wouldn't have got the same blessing if I'd have let old Landon win and say, boy, I'm wore out. Would be nice to do this laundry and just stay here at the house and hang out a while. But I wouldn't have got to hear what Eddie Kerr preached last night that blessed me, Randy. See, it's putting forth an effort today. Moses went down by the waters and raised his hand up. Did you know that the closer that you walk with God, the things that you'll get to see that you won't if you just sit back? I promise you, there's some things you can experience with God if you get close to Him that other people will not get to because they're not willing to put in the effort. They haven't got that vigor, that desire, that fire burning beneath them. I ain't saying you're lost just because you don't want to get close to God, but somewhere along the way, you got comfortable. You got in a place, that's what's wrong with a lot of our churches. We've just gotten comfortable. You know, good things come getting out of your comfort zone. It scares me to death to get behind that pulpit, Randy. I don't love to just jump right up and get on the front of this pulpit in front of all of you. But God will bless the effort today. Do you think they love to just run up there to the piano and sing songs? Probably scares them a lot. And they've been doing it for years. Scares you to death when you got to get up and testify, don't it? As it should. But we've got a responsibility today to put forth the effort. You ever thought about, I'll tell you this. I was thinking about, we go hike on the Appalachian Trail as much as I can. And we'll go, and I've hiked all of Georgia into North Carolina. And I thought about, Randy, I thought about every single time I go, somebody says, well, why do you want to go and do that? Why would you want to start in Georgia and hike all the way to Maine? You know why, Randy? Because there's some things that I'll get to experience that other people won't get to. Because if I'll put forth an effort, I'll get to see some sunsets that other people don't get to. I'll get to see some mountain ranges that other people haven't experienced because they're not willing to put forth the effort. Am I saying everybody should go hike a mountain? That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying today is if you're willing to walk with God and walk on some mountaintops and be willing to go down through the valleys and still trust Him and get back up on those mountaintops, if you'll put forth an effort with your walk with God, you'll see some things happen. I promise you. That's the way God works. I promise you. And don't take my word for it. Go and look inside this book. This book proves it. That if you will walk closer with Him and trust Him, you will experience some things that other people don't get to. You know, when they were walking through and they came through the other side, everybody was jumping up and down. They were singing songs of praise. They call it the Song of Moses. They can call it whatever they want to. The children of Israel were so excited. Look what God did to Pharaoh and them. Not long after that, they're saying, we're tired of this food. Could you give us something different? Boy, we're tired of this. We're human today. We are. We get complacent. We get comfortable. We get to where we see other people doing things, so we better not step out of our line. But I'm going to tell you something. The deacons are going to die out one day. Randy ain't going to be your pastor. Sister Susan might get to the point where she can't play the piano anymore. Who's going to do it next? Who is? And it ain't something when you serve in a church that you just pick up on day one, Randy. When they called me to pastor Dry Creek, I had to write down what I said when I baptized somebody on the front of my Bible. I was so nervous. We got to put forth an effort, church. What if Moses started walking up that mountain because for some reason everybody, I think, pictures in their mind that Mount Sinai was probably just, you know, a hill that Moses went up on and climbed over there and got to meeting with the Lord. If you Google Mount Sinai and you look at a picture of it, it is a mountain, and at the top it gets skinny and tall. You know what Moses had to do to get to the top of that? He didn't hire a guide. He didn't have somebody come walk with him. Moses went by himself. That man put forth an effort to get to the top of that mountain and got to experience some things with God. What if he got halfway and said, God, it's too steep. I better go back down. You know what I believe? Moses, while he would have been lighting the fire as they melted down the golden calf. That's what he came back down to. When we don't do what we're supposed to with God, it leaves so many more options for you to do everything else for the world. It really does. That's the reason why people can't be used by God today. They're too full of the world a lot of times. The Bible says you couldn't serve two masters. You'd love one and hate the other. We start to get so caught up in that career. We start to get so caught up in everything else in life. And it gets busy. It does. It gets faster and faster. That's what a lot of the problem with. The problem is today we get so busy and life gets so fast that we forget about slowing down with God. That's some of my favorite things. Randy, I don't care if I go all deer season and don't kill a deer. Don't even go out there for it. I go out there just to sit in that deer stand for 4 or 5 hours with just me today. I get to experience some things with God. I got about 7.5 acres of grass. I get out there and cut it once a week because I like to cut grass. No, because I like to get on that thing and think about the Lord today. Sometimes we got to do some things uncomfortable just to spend some time with the Lord. But you know what? That's when He blesses us. Amen. You ever rode down the road, driving down the road and just went to meeting with just you and the Lord? Yeah, many a times. You know why? Because you got off by yourself and did some things with the Lord. You've got to put forth the effort, church. He ain't going to just pull fruit out of the ground for you. There's some things you're going to have to do. And I'm going to tell you something. When I got saved, I physically had to get out of the chair and get down on my knees. Is that what saved me? Wasn't it, Randy? Somebody has to come out of the pew and walk down here to this. Is that what saves them? Sure don't. The Holy Spirit of God is what saves out of your soul. Do you know what you have to do? It ain't a physical movement. It ain't verbal words that you have to say out of your mouth. It's the condition of your heart that you have to realize that you're lost and undone without God, and you've never had an experience with Him, and you don't have a relationship with Him. It's that simple today. You know, the scariest thing for any person to do is to look inwardly. It scares you to death. Scares me to death. For me to look inside of my own heart and say, am I exactly what I say that I am? Am I where I need to be with God? Am I reading my Bible enough? Am I exactly what I need to be to help my church out, Randy? We got to put forth the effort. Instead of vigorous or determined attempt. He'll bless the effort, I promise. Y'all remember that story of Jericho? Y'all remember how Joshua got down and just said, Lord, let us have this city, and the walls fell down. Y'all remember that? That ain't what it says, does it? See, they had to cross a river, walk around for 7 days. They had to shout and blow a trumpet, and the walls came down. The Lord blessed the effort. He blessed the effort today. That's what He'll do, I promise you. If you want to get closer to God, He will let you. If you want to be saved, I promise you. If you will seek the Lord, I promise you. He said, if you would draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. We serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Randy. He's uncontested. There's not another God. There's not anyone else rivaling today. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the only one sitting on the throne today. And that's who we get to serve. We don't have to get saved. We get to get saved. We don't have to have revival, Mountain View. We could call it off. But we get to. Ask any church today around here. COVID's been just about gone, I guess you could say. I ain't heard much about it, I'll be honest with you. But there's churches still ain't went back to Sunday night services. There's churches that ain't went back to Wednesday night services. They ain't going to push forward for more things. We're accepting less. That's what we've been doing. And we want to see God do more in our lives with us doing less. We're going into revival this week, Mountain View, and I say we because I'm a part of this. I'm a part of the church. I'm going to challenge all of you to come with something on your heart. To come with something to be a help. Brondi and Shane and Randy, it's not their revival. Those two men coming, they've been praying. I guarantee you they have because I know both of them. They've been praying for this revival and they've been praying that if somebody's lost, they'd be saved. But it ain't their job. It's not them. They're just willing to come and do the best that they possibly can with the best messages that they can get from the Lord to try to preach to you. I've heard people joke with other pastors many times and say, well, you don't preach to us like that like you did to that church. You don't preach to us like that on Sunday mornings. There's something different about revival. There really is. Why do you see people really only get saved in revival anymore? There's something special about it. You know why? Because we've set our lives aside and we went all week long just to see something happen. If I get to come up here this week, which I hope that I do, I'm not coming to see all of y'all. And I love you. I love to come and see you. But I'm not coming for y'all. I'm coming that I might get to be a part of one of these children that y'all have established some foundation in, or one of these elder ones, or one of these older ones, or one of these that's been out of church, finally come with their loved one and come down this altar and get right with the Lord. That's what I go to revival for, Randy. I love to see you when I do, but I don't come to see you. I want to be a part of what God does in people's lives. It is the fire that lights inside of me when I see somebody that's been out of church for a long time and the whole church has been praying for them and grandma's been testifying and crying and mom and daddy's been saying, y'all pray for my kids, they're out of the will of the Lord. When those people get to come down the altar, it's one of the sweetest things I've ever seen in my life. There's rejoicing. I absolutely love to just see people get saved. I absolutely love it, Randy. You know what one of the biggest excuses Baptists ever came up with? Lord willing. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I know what it means. If the Lord lets me, I'll get to go. You know what Baptists use it as? If I don't have nothing else to do, that's when I'll be there. Lord willing. Lord willing, I'll be there. Lord willing, I'll get to come every night. But really all you're saying is, well, I hope I don't get too tired. Boy, I hope I don't have something else come up. It's a cop-out is what we use it for a lot of times as Baptists. I'll be honest with you. Lord willing, I will. Let me tell you something. If you think the Lord's will ain't for you to get to go to church, you're mistaken. If you think the Lord's will is not for you to get to go to the house of God, you are mistaken. That's always His will for you to get closer unto Him. But you know what we got to do? We got to put forth an effort. We got to put forth the effort. That's why this altar's up here in the front. It's uncomfortable. It really is. It's uncomfortable to step out and walk in front of your loved ones and peers and come. Oh, they may say something about me. They may know something's wrong in my life. Or they may know that I'm lost and undone. That's what I thought about in church, Randy. You've heard me tell it many a times. I thought when I was down there at Stoner's with my wife, when I was lost, I thought if I walked up to that very front, they'd all say, huh. Ain't no way he's getting saved. I thought they would look at me and say, I know what he's done. I don't care nothing for him. I thought everybody in that church hated me. I did. When I got saved, I realized how wrong I was. The church is who loves me. The church is who loved me. I may not know each and every one of your names, but we're brothers and sisters in Christ. That's closer than your friends on Facebook. It is today. We think that because we've got close friends since we were childhood, that that's the best thing that could ever happen. But I'm telling you, my little ministry that God's let me have going around to different churches and stuff around North Georgia and a little bit in Alabama, the people that I've got to meet, that's been the greatest blessing of my life. And you know what? That's who I look to when I'm in trouble. Eddie said it last night. He said, whenever I'm in trouble and I really need help, I'm going to those saints of God that I know are walking close with God, because I don't need to go to somebody else with more trouble. Are we those people in people's lives? We can be if we put forth the effort. See, knowledge doesn't come. Nobody ever sat back and God just poured out knowledge into their brain. And all of a sudden they were able to teach Sunday school. And they were able to tell everyone about these great mysteries of the Bible. They got off by themselves. They read the Word of God, went to meeting with the Lord. They came to Sunday school, heard teachers teach. They came on Wednesday nights, heard people's testimonies. And they took some things in, and now they're able to teach it. I promise you, if you want to get closer to God, He'll let you today. He really will. If y'all want to have a good revival, He will let you. I promise you, Mountain View. But if you want Shane and Brondi to preach their heart out and hope that they're where they need to be and that it absolutely strikes somebody, then sit back and relax. But if you want to enjoy this revival, you take part in it. Put forth an effort to be a help unto them. And when I sit up there and people get up and testify, you ain't in my way, brother. You ain't in my way if you got something on your heart. If you need to sing, if you need to shout, if you need to cry, if you need to do whatever you do it for the Lord. I ain't nothing special. I ain't nothing special at all. You ain't going to get in my way at all. If Randy want to go ahead and preach, I ain't jealous. I just want to see somebody saved. That's all I want to do. And if you want to really enjoy this revival and you're lost, get saved and see how much fun it is. It'll be the best revival you've ever had. It'll be your entire life. That'll be the best revival you've ever took part in, is the one you get saved in. I stand up on a Thursday sometimes whenever they sing the days of the week. Sometimes I stand up on Friday. I ain't real sure when November the 22nd, 2013 was. I stand up on the wrong day probably. I do Thursday. Sometimes I do Friday, Randy. I don't really care. It don't matter to me. My birthday was yesterday. It's just another day. November 22nd means more to me than June 11th, I'll be honest with you. That's the day I started living. That's the day whenever the tabernacle of God dwelled with me, was inside of me, and I got to dwell with Him. It ain't one day after a while. It ain't a, boy, I hope so. It ain't a one day when I get to cross the river. We get to experience God today. Ain't that good, church? It's a sorry thing, I'll be honest with you, to have to have that viewpoint and look at that every day in the Scripture and say, well, one day I'll get to experience what Jesus is really like. Get saved, you'll experience Him today. I feel like that's as far as we need to go. But I'm going to tell you something, church. If you want to have a good revival, you can. You want to have a revival like 1984? Then just try to do whatever you did in 1984. If you want to have a real good revival today in 2022, just do what God tells you to do. Amen. He ain't worried about 1984. He ain't worried about the 80s and about revivals that used to happen. He's worried about what you're going to do right now. We can look back and learn from what we've done in the past, but it don't help us today. We can take life lessons that we've learned in the past, but they're not going to help you today. Unless you put forth an effort and apply what you've learned. If somebody taught me how to change a tire on a car, and when my car finally went, when my tire went flat, I'd finally know how to do it. I'd have to put forth the effort to be able to do it. But if I didn't take in the knowledge at some point, what good is it? I'm standing there with my hands in my pockets. Well, let me tell you something today. You may feel like I don't know nothing about God. I don't know nothing about Scripture. I don't know anything. That's exactly where I was when I announced my calling to preach, Randy. I knew Romans 3:23 and John 3:16, and I'd probably quote both of them wrong to you. That was it. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. Thought, Lord, why are you calling me to preach? And you may be wondering, Lord, why are you telling me to stand up and testify? Lord, why are you telling me to go to the altar? Lord, why are you telling me to sing that song? Don't worry about it. Just do it. That'll be the best thing you can do, is when God tells you to do something, just get up and do it. Y'all can go ahead with a verse of a song. Put forth the effort today. If you've been holding on for so long and you've said, well, boy, I'm sure I can make it out of this service just like I did the other ones. Don't. Eddie told a story last night talking about a man that got saved. He said the Lord had called him to come to the altar so many times and he wouldn't come. And you know what he said? He was down for about a minute, and the second he got up, he looked at Eddie and said, why didn't I do this sooner? I had no clue that it was that easy. Yeah. See, man makes things difficult with God. Man is the one who puts obstacles in between a good relationship with God. If we would get ourselves out of the way, that's why preachers say that. Because Landon doesn't want to tell you anything because I'll mess it up. I like to get myself out of the way so God can be a help to somebody. It ain't my message, it's His. He's the preacher of preachers, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Don't talk yourself out of a good relationship with God this morning. Put forth the effort. If you're lost, come get saved. If you're backslid, come get close to Him again. And if you're close to Him, be willing to go even further with Him today. If you get to a point in your life where you feel like I'm finally where I need to be with God, you better go ahead and prepare for a fall. Because with God, you've got to keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Your walk with God, He said, I'd walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say, while you sit there, I'll pick you up and put you on the mountain. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know what you got to do with your walk today? Just keep on walking. It gets hard, the roads get rough, and they sing to you. You got to keep praying, you got to keep walking, you got to keep trusting, and you got to keep your faith in the Lord. And you know what will happen when you get to the other side? I promise you'll be back on a mountaintop. There ain't a valley in this whole world that stretches the entire earth. And there ain't no valley with God that lasts forever. Somebody told me something when I was in the army that, oh, I hold true, Randy. They said, no matter how bad something gets, it can't last forever. But let me tell you something. Hell is forever. It absolutely is. You know what's even better, though? Heaven is also forever. It's eternal today. There's not a deal you'll ever make in this entire world that's better than salvation with the Lord. There's not. You can look at the facts. Look at the contract today. There ain't a car you'll buy. There ain't a house you'll buy. There's not an investment property or a stock that will get you an ROI like eternal salvation. There's not. There's nothing else you could do in this world that's better than getting saved, being a blood-bought child of the King. You said, but preacher, you're talking about working. You're talking about putting forth an effort. There's rewards for this effort, I promise you that. There's some experiences that you get to have with God that other people won't because they're not willing to put forth the effort. We've got to serve God with vigor and determination. That's what effort means. That's what I read to you. Vigor and determination. Are you determined today that you're going to do the best you absolutely can for God? That's what He said. He said He just wanted to do the best He possibly could for you so people would pat you on the back and say you're the best thing we've ever had in this church. Because He wants to see your kids saved. He wants to see your family members get close to God. That's the point of us coming to church. I don't come to church because I realize I'm perfect. I come to church because I'm not. But I know someone who is. His name is Jesus Christ. He came and died on a cross for us in our sins. It's not a fairy tale. It happened. It happened, Randy. I don't know if the rich man and Lazarus, I don't know if Lazarus was a real person, Randy. I don't. Could have been a parable. But I'm going to tell you this. Jesus Christ walked among this earth. He died for you and I. A lot of things happened 2,000 years ago that we read about. But He died for you and I today. Amen. He set up the book of Acts so we could have a church ran just like this. So we would understand that we could put a body of believers in, listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and someone could get saved. Yeah. That's what He gave to us for today. Why not? I read to you, He said today is the day of salvation. Be willing to raise the staff. I promise you, it'll be a blessing. I promise you that. But if you want to be like everybody else and moan and groan and kick and say, boy, the 1980s were the golden years, then you can do that. But for everybody else, it's time to push forward. Stop accepting where churches are today. Boy, we're losing members because we don't do this. Boy, we'd get more kids in if we would just do this. Why don't we just do what the Bible says and let God bless it and us stop trying to get in the way? Anything I've ever done, Randy, I've messed up. I'll be honest with you. Time for us to get out of the way. Let God do what God's going to do and be willing to be used by Him. That's the key. Be willing to be used by Him. This whole revival, it ain't nothing to me, but I want you to keep in the back of your mind vigor and determination. Determination that you're going to see somebody saved. And vigor that you're going to do anything that you can, that if God tells you to do it, you do it. And if you're the one standing there saying, I wish they would be quiet because this service is taking too long, it might be you. Go ahead.